This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat ended the day at 585 and three quarter, down 1 3/4. September wheat ended at 590 and a half, up 2. December wheat ended at 591 and a quarter, down 8. July corn yesterday ended the day at 418 and a half, down 1 1/4. September corn ended at 426 and a half, down 2. December corn ended the day at 435, down 2 1/4. July soybeans yesterday ended at 1033 and 3/4, down 11 1/2. August beans ended at 1022 and a quarter, down 16. September beans ended at 1015 and a half, down 16. July soybean meal yesterday ended the day at $254.40, down $3. August meal $346.30, down $3.80. September meal ended at $342.40, down $3.70. July soybean oil yesterday ended at $32.64, down $72. August oil $32.74, down $74, and September oil $32.80, down $76. July oats yesterday ended the day at $2.50, up a nickel, and September oats ended at $2.60, up 3 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Monday, with row crops pushed lower on world economic worries. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 2 cents at $3.76 to $3.99. Soybean bids mostly 14 cents lower at $9.99 to $10.15. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 2 at $3.91 to $4.12, while soybean bids were 11 cents lower at $10.10 to $10.34. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at $3.92 to $4.18. Soybean bids down 13 to 16 cents at $10.10 to $10.38, while the wheat bids were up 3 to 7 cents at $5.05 up to $5.48. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 14 to 16 lower on Monday at $10.34 to $10.54. Basis ended steady to 2 cents higher at 12 to 32 over the August. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $361.40 to $379.40. That is $3 to $6 per ton lower, with basis unchanged at $7 to $25 over July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were two to four lower at $4.12 to $4.27, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at $15 under to option September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 2 lower at $4.06 to $4.10. Basis steady to 1 cent higher at $21 under to $17 under September. Soybeans down 11 to 15 cents at $10.32 to $10.43, with basis up 1 to 5 cents at $10 to $21 over the August. Wheat prices were up 2 to 3 cents at $5.54 to $5.59, with basis 2 to 3 cents lower at $42 under. To 37 under September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids a penny lower at $4.29 to $4.30. These same elevators put their soybean prices 10 to 11 cents lower, with quotations at $10.64 to $10.69. Soft red winter wheat 5 to 8 lower at $5.50 to $5.54, and Milo down 2 cents at $4.84 to $4.85. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.93 up to $4.10. New crop soybean bids range from $9.41 up to $9.82. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.96 up to $4.08, with the new crop soybean bids at $9.75 to $9.90. And in the southern part of the state on Monday, new crop corn bids range from $3.92 up to $4.10. With the new crop soybean bids ranging from $9.61 up to $9.85. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade on Monday. July hogs ended the day at $78.72, down a nickel. August hogs ended at $76, down 37, and October hogs ended at $65.60, down 67. August cattle yesterday ended the day at 150.50, down 72. October cattle 153.47, down 65. December cattle 154.47, down a quarter. August feeder cattle yesterday ended the day at 216.97, down 47. September feeders 215.57, down 52. And October feeders 214.05, down 70. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 6th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 76 cents higher in the range of $65 to $78. With the weighted average carcass price of $74.78. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 26 to 31, 4 to 5 weights 30 to 36, 5 to 6 weights 34 to 38, and 6 weights and up 36 to 40. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to 50 cents lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $48 to $51.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 14,634 head. And now for the recap from the Walnut Livestock Auction from Thursday, July the 2nd. Compared to last week, steers and heifers traded steady. Slaughter Holstein steers sold $3 lower. Slaughter cows and bulls were not reported. Starting with the choice slaughtered steers, they were $148.25 to $153.75. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, $137 to $140.50. And choice slaughter heifers, $146.50 to $151.85. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 324 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.26, and that was $1.27 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $247.65, that was $2.47 lower. And select carcasses at $243.92, that was $4.13 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 70,000. That compared to 111,000 last week and 4,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 161,000. That compared to 403,000 last week and 2,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Welcome to our farm show for Tuesday, July 7th. And this is John Michael Marty along with Joyce Fickrey of the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Joyce joins us from Springfield and comes down to the studio today to talk a bit about National Ice Cream Month. Joyce, I have to ask, why did they pick July?
Well, I think the summer is a perfect time to enjoy ice cream, actually.
I'm
a big fan year-round, but July was recognized as National Ice Cream Month in 1984. Our president at that time was Ronald Reagan, and he declared the month as National Ice Cream Month, and then the third Sunday, which is coming up, I believe this year it's the 19th, is National Ice Cream Day. And Ronald Reagan said it is, quote unquote, the perfect dessert, and called for all Americans to enjoy this event with appropriate ceremonies and activities.
I think everybody who was around when Ronald Reagan was president knew about his affinity for jelly beans. I wasn't aware of the ice cream, but that's good. How would he not? Because you're right, it is pretty much all American. And I'm being facetious about why July, because obviously it's a great summertime thing. I'm just thinking about about picnics. It's a little tough sometimes without a really good cooler or lots of dry ice, but it's a great thing for a hot day. Let me ask, Joyce, I think probably the hardest thing to give up, if you really like it, is ice cream, if you're on a diet. But people don't necessarily have to?
You don't have to. Certainly, ice cream can be part of a healthy diet. And it is important, even if you are dieting, we want to include foods that we truly love. So the key is really the M word, and that means moderation. You just need to make sure that you're limiting your intake. Remember that a serving size for ice cream is a half a cup. And so that is about the size of a tennis ball. And the other thing I can point out is there are many low-fat and low-sugar versions that are now available. So if you do have special dietary needs, you know, even those individuals can enjoy ice cream.
It doesn't necessarily mean you can eat the half gallon.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, one of the things we can do to kind of limit our intake is make sure that we eat it in a bowl instead of out of the container.
I would imagine. People always talk about flavors, and I hear really odd things, and I know people go in spurts. But overall, I got to assume vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry are right up there, aren't they?
Your guesses are pretty good, actually. The number one is vanilla, and that is followed by chocolate. Then we have Neapolitan, strawberry, and cookies and cream. So those are the top five. And what do you have a favorite in the top five? Or
I, you know what? It's funny you mention that because as I get older, I find myself gravitating back to wonderful vanilla because you can do so much with it.
Yes.
And I think that's truly the case. Vanilla is my favorite, and really good vanilla is really good.
Yes, I do like vanilla, and especially the vanilla bean where you can see the little flecks of the real vanilla bean in there.
I often wonder how much of the milk supply each year that comes from the dairy herds goes into making ice cream. I would imagine it's a pretty good chunk.
Well, actually, I do know that because we've used that. Yes, we have used that as a statistic before. It's about 9%, which I thought it would be higher than that. So about 9% of all the milk produced goes to produce ice cream.
Ice cream cones are terrific, of course. And I've always heard, and whether it was true or not, that the ice cream cone was invented or first introduced during the St. Louis World's Fair. So many things were at the St. Louis World's
Fair.
Right.
Iced tea, too.
Iced tea as well.
Yes. but yes, that's one of the stories that I have heard as well, that they ran out of dishes and some inventive person just took a cookie, rolled it up, made it into a cone shape, and then they use that for ice
cream. Wow, that's incredible. Now, the first ice cream cone, though the story is that it was first introduced in New York City.
Oh, really? Okay.
1896. What about somebody who has an intolerance to milk? Can they still eat some types of ice cream?
Certainly. And, you know, check the freezer section. Just like there is lactose-free milk available now, you can also see there are some lactose-free ice creams available. And if it is an issue, if it is a problem, you can always purchase Lactaid and take that prior to enjoying your ice cream.
We're visiting today with Joyce Vickery. Joyce, from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And we're talking about ice cream because July is ice cream month. Ice cream is always a great topic any day of the year. But today, with July being ice cream month, we're visiting about all of the great things that involve around ice cream. And certainly in July or any time, you can enjoy it. We'll be back with more of Joyce right after this with part two. Back with part two on our farm show for this Tuesday, our guest Joyce Vickery from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Joyce, again, I really appreciate you coming down to talk about ice cream because what better subject is there than ice cream to talk about? The big question, and I know that I'll be the first to admit, I always eat more than the recommended serving size. How does one encourage moderation when it comes to eating ice cream?
Well, I think I mentioned one thing is, of course, you want to put it in a bowl so you can see exactly how much you're eating instead of being tempted to eat out of the carton or,
sure,
you know. So that's one thing you can do. You can use a measuring cup just so you can measure it out and just, you know, this is a half a cup. This is what I'm going to eat. And then the other thing, too, is you can also use kind of a scoop, because generally one scoop is about a half a cup. So that's what I would recommend. You know, just be familiar with what a serving size is. Put it in a dish. And then don't be tempted to go back for seconds.
But you don't say that the best thing is to eat a flavor you don't like, so you don't want
anymore. Does that work?
I don't know. No. No, that is, you know, I got to have what I like, too. So, no, that doesn't work.
I will say I have also tried that one because my husband loves chocolate. So, I'll buy the chocolate, and then he will eat it, and I won't. But...
No, it doesn't work.
Yes. It hasn't for me.
Either that, either you'll go ahead and eat another portion of the one you like, or you'll learn to like that one.
That's right.
That doesn't work. What recipes have you got for July Ice Cream Month? I got to believe there's a recipe or two involving ice cream.
Well, absolutely. And one of the recipes is a three-ingredient ice cream recipe. And this is nice because you actually do not need an ice cream freezer to make this. So what you have is you need one can of sweetened condensed milk. You need a pint of heavy whipping cream and then 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. So this is your vanilla ice cream. Now, if you want to, you can kind of customize this by adding nuts, berries, and crushed pieces of your favorite candy if you like. The idea is you want to combine the three ingredients in a large bowl using an electric mixer. You want to beat this at medium speed for about 5 minutes until it's kind of whipped up and forms peaks. And then you put it in a 13x9 baking dish and you place it in the freezer for about 8 hours. Then you can simply cut it into 12 equal pieces. I'm assuming that's about a half a cup, right? and enjoy. It's about 250 calories.
That's a vanilla ice cream made that
way. That is a vanilla, yes. It's a little bit different. Now, I do have, I have purchased a Cuisinart. And it's the type where you freeze the outer container for about 24 hours, and then you add your ingredients to that, and you press the button, and 20 to 30 minutes later, you have ice cream.
Oh,
so that's
sure.
Also wonderful.
Yeah. That's fabulous. I think I might try this. That looks really good. We sit and we talk about ice cream in July, and we talk about ice cream anytime. I have to admit to you that as I've gotten older, and I think this is a struggle maybe we all have, as I've gotten older, I'm more inclined to eat sweets. I really like them a lot, you know, and so I get become sedentary in my job, sitting out here at the radio station all day. Then I go home and I eat that lovely ice cream at night. I must say, it's really a struggle for me, you know. As much as I love it, I say, can't do it all the time. But I'm surrounded by Dairy Queen blizzards, and I'm surrounded by grocers' frozen food cases, and I'm surrounded by, just whatever. The ice cream is everywhere. But that just lends to its popularity, I'm assuming, too.
It does, and if it makes you feel any better, because one of the major ingredients is milk, and of course, milk contributes so many nutrients to our diet. It actually is a nutrient-dense food, and again, we don't want to indulge probably on a daily basis, but it does contain more nutrients than probably some other desserts that are out there, things like cakes or pies. And, and just remember, you are getting a little dairy that way, okay? Does that make you feel better?
That makes me feel better. That and working on the moderation makes it better. Our guest has been Joyce Vickery from the St. Louis District Dairy Council. So glad to have Joyce for her regular monthly visit with us down here. I want to jump ahead. What's in August? Have we got something to talk about in August?
I'm sure we do. You know, of course, we always start to think about back to school. I'm not sure that's going to be our topic, but that would be a great one.
We got one coming. So about the first week or so of August, we'll have Joyce back again. But thanks for being our guest today, Joyce.
Thank you.
That's part two of our farm show. We'll be back with more on Wednesday. Have a great day, everybody.